I'm Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and former host here at PW Torch Livecast. If you're looking for my shows, they have moved as of July 2017. They're now called the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available through Podcast One. Enter Wade Keller on your podcast app or iTunes and subscribe to the new Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, where I cover Raw and my first show of the week, SmackDown with my second show of the week, and then the Flagship Edition with a co-host, and we cover a broad array of pro wrestling current events, and then I end the week with a weekly interview. That's the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, now at Podcast One. Subscribe today. Just search Wade Keller. Welcome to the PW Torch livecast for Friday, December 8th, 2017. I'm Wade Keller, introducing our weekly Friday Best of livecast edition. And today we go back 5 years ago this week to a show discussing this new faction called The Shield, with an in-depth look at their backgrounds, their strengths, and their weaknesses, why Dean Ambrose was the natural leader, and more. It's fascinating to hear what we said would be the likely direction of the Shield and initial thoughts on Roman Reigns before it became perfectly clear he was Vince McMahon's choice to be the next big dog, the man, thoughts on Seth and Dean. How have they progressed in the last 5 years compared to how Sean Radican and James Caldwell thought they would 5 years ago? Fascinating discussion. Also, Ryback was a big rising star 5 years ago. It just feels like yesterday in a way, and also feels like a whole other world. They talk about his prospects to end up perhaps in the in a WrestleMania main event. They also talk about WWE perhaps losing customers by changing pay-per-view lineups. Of course, that's not a problem anymore because they're on the network. So now they've lost almost all their pay-per-view customers, but most of them converted to the network. Plus, the Hot Topics of the Week, where Greg Parks joins in for the previously VIP-exclusive portion of this episode, which you can now hear for the first time for free on the Best of PW Torch livecast. Thanks, as always, for joining us here. We want to say goodbye to Jim Valley for now. He's got a new obligation and had to wrap up the Wrestling Road Stories Wednesday edition of the livecast, but we expect to have a new edition of the lineup as soon as next week, so stay tuned for that. As we continue to bring you a diverse mix of show themes and show hosts on a wide array of topics in this fascinating professional wrestling industry. Of course, you can hear me 4 days per week, just not here at PW Torch Livecast anymore. I'm now over at Podcast One with the same format I had here prior with coverage of Raw. The show becomes available in the early AM hours on Tuesday and then early AM on Wednesday. My coverage of SmackDown and then the Thursday flagship. Yesterday it was Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net. joining me live to talk for well over 2 hours about the week in wrestling and where we're going, a look ahead to where we're headed, especially with ROH Final Battle coming up, some thoughts on Impact Wrestling and more. And then today's new show is part two of my new interview with James Storm. Absolutely great interview. Laugh out loud funny at times, great insight on TNA, great insight on why he spent such a short amount of time in NXT and what's in his future. Absolutely worth your time to check that out. If you haven't yet, go subscribe. Just search Wade Keller on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. Just search Wade Keller. The blue logo with my face on, it'll pop up. Click subscribe and you are in. And of course, we welcome your VIP membership too, where you can get these live casts ad-free and plug-free. Also, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast from Podcast One on the VIP audio feed. And a ton of exclusive podcasts throughout the week that are only for VIP members, including the Wade Keller Hotline, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, the Fix with Todd Martin, post pay-per-view, audio roundtables, and much more. The Wayback Playback, retro radio shows, the VIP East Coast Cast, Sean Radican's Wrestling Audio Community, and on and on. So check out details on that membership, which also includes ad-free access to our desktop and mobile website, and 30 plus years of archives of the newsletter and thousands of audio shows dating back to retro radio shows from the early 1990s. It's a great place for wrestling fans to immerse themselves in the largest single source of insider information. No library comes close online with new content, VIP exclusive content, new newsletters and articles every week added to that content. Check it out, pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. And also, I invite you to follow me on Twitter at The Wade Keller and follow our brand at pwtorch. And on Facebook, like our page, facebook.com/pwtorch. You can also friend me on Facebook at facebook.com/WadeKellerTorch. And finally, during this holiday season and year-round, when you shop at Amazon, don't start at amazon.com. When you start typing that, stop and think of us and show support for us. Instead, go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. A few extra keystrokes, and then you click the logo, and now what you're buying leads to a commission for us. Amazon magically knows you came from our recommendation that we referred you to the site. And so it's a way to throw a few extra quarters, a few extra bucks in our tip jar, and you end up shopping for the same merchandise at the same price as you would have anyway. So that's pwtorch.com/Amazon. All right, here we go. This is a fascinating discussion from 5 years ago this week about The Shield and more.
Be Torch live cast. That's Kids on Bridges introing us on the show, and this is Torch assistant editor James Caldwell hosting today's show here on Thursday, December 6th, 2012. And on today's show, I'll be joined by Torch columnist Sean Radican, and we also will talk to Torch columnist Greg Parks. We haven't had Greg on the show in a little while, so we're going to talk to him a little bit later on the show. But my main co-host today will be Torch columnist Sean Radican. Sean, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Good to talk to you, Sean. It's been quite the week with a lot of stuff going on in wrestling. And I want to jump into phone calls real quick, or very quickly here on the start while we have you on the air. But first, I want to touch on the big topic of the week, Sean, and that's CM Punk, his injury, the TLC main event change from CM Punk versus Ryback for the WWE title to a six-man tag. You wrote about one of those key players, Dean Ambrose, in that six-man tag at the next pay-per-view for WWE, and your take is on pwtorch.com right now. Basically looking at who's Dean Ambrose and what can he contribute to WWE, how far can he go. So I just want to jump off talking about the big story of the week for WWE, which is the changes to TLC, the CM Punk issue. Sean, what's your take on what's going on with CM Punk?
You know, it surprised me that he went and did this right before, you know, they advertised his match against Ryback, built it up, and then, you know, they spent a lot of TV time on it, and then he went and had surgery. The timing seems odd, you know, a couple weeks out from the pay-per-view, but, you know, it's one of those pay-per-views that's kind of a usually a skippable show, and you know, we've seen Ryback in a couple pay-per-view matches, a couple months in a row. They did good numbers the first time, but you know, they also invested a lot of time in the Shield, so you know, maybe people will get excited about that as well. You know, I have my doubts given, you know, how Daniel Bryan and Kane have been booked, and they're not really been booked as serious wrestlers, and now they're being pushed in the main event with Ryback. How serious will people take them? It seems like, you know, they went from comedy characters that did a lot of jobs, you know, non-tag title matches to, you know, now they're going up against this threat in the Shield. It's hard to figure out how they're going to pull it all together and make it relevant, but I just think in the bigger picture, the three-hour show is really dragging things down, and you know, waiting for Rocky to show up.
Yeah, I mean, that seems like why, if there is a good time for your champ to go in for surgery, I guess it's better that it's before TLC and at the Royal Rumble when Punk's supposed to face The Rock. So, yeah, I'm with you, Sean. I mean, it is sort of wait for The Rock to come back, and Maybe that's why Punk decided. Maybe Punk got to the point where he said, you know what, I don't know if I could last till January with my knee condition. Let me go ahead and just skip this December pay-per-view and be ready for the big money match at the Rumble. I mean, that's my thinking of what's going through his mind right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'd imagine that now is as good a time as any. You know, maybe the condition of his knee worsened and to the point where, you know, WWE management and Punk felt that, you know, let's go take a look at it now and have the type of surgery where, you know, he should be back by the end of January, able to wrestle against Rock at the Rumble. I saw Lance Storm tweet that he had a similar surgery and was wrestling the next week on TV, so I'd expect him back soon.
Yeah, I'm almost like picturing Bret Hart in the mid-90s when he was injured on crutches in a wheelchair with the Hart Foundation, and they just kind of had him on TV, and it made him an even bigger heel, being in the wheelchair with the crutches and talking trash from a distance, you know, on stage. So I wonder if Paul Heyman's going to wheel out CM Punk in a wheelchair before on Monday's Raw to sell the powerbomb and to explain why he can't defend the title on Sunday. Big heat. I would imagine they get a lot of big heat on that from the crowd booing him and saying he's a chicken and all that sort of stuff. So I wonder if they might draw from some old-school Bret Hart to play up the injury.
And I wonder how all this affects Ryback. You know, they came out and said he's getting another title shot. You know, is that an afterthought in the build-up to The Rock or beyond? You know, I mean, once WrestleMania season hits, do they say, oh, you missed your title shot, we're going to put you in the Elimination Chamber, or whatever it may be. It's hard to imagine because I don't think Rock is going to wrestle in the Elimination Chamber as far as I know.
And,
be interested to see what they do with Ryback. You know, because they must have some kind of plan because they came out and said it, of course. You know, they could always just brush that aside. But it's going to be important if they want to keep him hot to have him doing something important before WrestleMania. And, you know, he's been all over, not all over, but he's been a central focus of television the last couple months. And people seem to really like what he's doing. You saw the Hell in a Cell buy rate. It's important that they give him a strong push because he's someone that the fans like. He's someone new. And when you get something fresh like that, that people are taken to, and you look at the numbers, you know, you got to keep them going. But at the same time, you know, there's just the other problem is the length of the show is driving away their viewership in large numbers. So, you got to manage those problems.
Yeah, and like you said, the plan for Ryback's, they've got to have a big replacement plan. If you know, if they wanted to have this long program with Punk and Ryback, and Punk's kind of out of the picture for however many weeks it is, and then, of course, shifting to The Rock, you know, where do they leave Ryback? Do they bring back Brock Lesnar and have Ryback feud with him? Do they have, you know, something else, you know, Big Show? Do they shift Big Show over to Ryback after TLC? I mean, they've got to come up with something to, like you said, Sean, kind of keep him in the forefront and not waste, you know, 3 months of pushing this guy as the next big thing. And so that's going to be a big question mark, I think, going into 2013.
I mean, it's almost the perfect way to bring him, Brock Lesnar, back is to have him come in and interfere in the match or at TLC, you know, use one of his dates. He's got that Paul Heyman connection. And, you know, here's another guy surrounding Punk, you know, protecting his title reign, and, you know, you could fit it in like that, you know, and it'd keep them hot with that issue if they go in that direction. Be a heck of a matchup for them to present this early in Ryback's push is to use Lesnar to elevate him, and I wonder how many second thoughts they would have about that, using Lesnar's dates to work with Ryback. Are they fully confident in him right now? You know, do they want to use him during WrestleMania season instead of using Brock to, you know, I just think when it comes to the Triple H factor, I really think that's going to override everything. Even though it's a good tie in here to feud him with Ryback, I just think, you know, they're going to save him for Triple H.
Yeah, I mean, that rematch has sort of been you know, what everybody thinks is going to happen with both Brock and Triple H. I mean, it makes sense for Triple H to get his win back, you know, because he's Triple H. But yeah, I think there's more money in a Ryback versus Lesnar match. And, you know that Ryback, and I would say above Ryback versus Big Show. Because obviously that's been the other big match talked about for Ryback and Mania is against Big Show. Why not just do Ryback and Brock? I think that one's probably has more money in that match than a Ryback Big Show plus a Brock versus Triple H rematch. You know, I could be wrong about that, but I would think that there's more, because it's a fresh matchup, and if presented correctly, I think a lot of people would be interested in seeing what happens when Ryback and Brock Lesnar meet up. You know, what's the result? So, I don't know. I think there's more interest in that match, and just my view of it would be that.
Brock and Triple H didn't have the greatest chemistry in the ring, you know, for the SummerSlam main event. You know, a lot of people bought it, you know, because of the hype and because of how they, you know, two marquee guys going at it. But, you know, if you saw the main event of SummerSlam, it wasn't good. I mean, it was just average. And Triple H wasn't willing to take the beating he needed to take and, you know, the physical type of match that, you know, Brock needs to do to get over. The beating that Cena was taking at Extreme Rules. I mean, that's the kind of main event Brock needs to have to be effective in WWE these days. He can't have this plotting match with Triple H. And I think, you know, the lasting image of Triple H is trying to soak in that applause at SummerSlam and, people chanting, "You tapped out." I mean, that should send a message, you know, your match sucked, go away, you know.
Right, and now he's like, "Oh, I have gone away. Now they'll be so enthralled with me when I come back. Everybody's ready for me to come back, you know, and get my win back." So, I think.
I mean, I don't want to dump on him. Like, I don't want to sound like Triple H is by any means a bad performer, because he's, you know, he's really.
That's great matches at Mania, you know, with Undertaker.
Yeah, he just had a 5-star match at WrestleMania with Undertaker. And, you know, so I don't want to I don't want to put that down. I just want to point out that the factor is that, you know, he can have that match with Undertaker, but can he have it with Brock? And we saw it once, and it's no. They just don't have they don't have that chemistry together. And I wouldn't want to go back to it after, you know, SummerSlam. If you put me in charge, I'd probably do Brock versus Ryback just to do something fresh. You know, Ryback's hot, gives him, you know, takes him out of the title equation and gives him something else to do. It's also a natural out with the Heyman connection, like I said. But will they do it? You know, they have these plans mapped out, and they don't usually change their WrestleMania plans, but I think it would be a better plan than Big Show.
Yeah, I think so too on that. I agree with you there. All right, Sean, let's go ahead and get some phone calls and hear what the listeners have to say here on a Thursday afternoon. We're talking WWE, of course, TNA as well, with TNA having a pay-per-view this weekend at Impact Tonight. We'll have live coverage of Impact at PWTorch.com. Already have a news item up about a potential spoiler for tonight's Impact. I have confirmed that the certain individual, I won't spoil who, but you can go to the site, go to PWTorch.com. If you want to know the spoiler and find out who we're talking about, is actually at the building, and this person is supposed to return. I've confirmed the person is at the building, so we know the person's there. Whether the person does return remains to be seen. So, go to PWTorch.com for that spoiler item, and we'll talk TNA as well as WWE on today's show. And the number to reach us here is 646-721-9828, or, of course, Independence with Sean Radican, our independent wrestling guru, the greatest mind of independent wrestling in the industry. And it's a good time to talk some independence if you want to talk about that with Sean on the show today.
You love pro wrestling podcasts, but you might not have time to listen to all of them. We'll help you decide which ones to listen to and keep you up to date on the ones you're missing at pwpodcasts.com. That website features written recaps of all of the top pro wrestling related podcasts, including Steve Austin, Bruce Prichard, Edge and Christian, and so on. Check it out. It's pwpodcasts.com, your home for written recaps of all pro wrestling personality hosted podcasts.
So Let's go ahead and go to our first caller of the day. This is from the 601 area code. 601, please state your name and where you're calling from.
It's Sergeant Robinson, Jackson, Mississippi. How y'all doing today?
Doing good, Sergeant. What's in your mind today?
Oh, I'm going to mess with Sean real quick. Sean, my day was going good until you mentioned Voldemort's name. He who name who can't be spoken, Triple H. My day was going good until you mentioned his name.
Sergeant, did you get, like, flashbacks to the SummerSlam match and you just started groaning?
I'm just going about a lot of stuff, and y'all were mentioning about the CM Punk thing. Y'all can correct me on this. This is like about the only time I can actually think. I know it's been done before about a main event changing three times. First, it's supposed to be Team Punk versus Team Foley. Then it turned to Team Foley versus Team Ziggler. Now the thing with his knee. CM Punk. Now we go into this other match. I got to the point now. This is the first time I've actually taken a break this whole week. I'm like going back to my old reading spoiler kind of thing. This is getting kind of outrageous.
Yeah, I mean, you look at, go back to Survivor Series build-up, and like you're saying, Sarge, there was, like you said, you had one match. McMahon comes out and changes it. Then you have that match that happens at Survivor Series. Then they set up, and then, of course, there was the rumor of Punk and Foley at TLC. But everybody who saw Foley at Survivor Series knew that match was not going to happen. He's not in any condition to wrestle. So then everybody's kind of thinking, okay, well, maybe Punk's not going to defend the title and kind of skip TLC and just go right to the Rumble against The Rock. And they book him in a title match. Now he's got an injury, and now that match is scratched, and you're back to Cena versus Ziggler and Team Ryback versus, Team Shield. Which I thought they might have done originally. So it's like Sarge is saying, Sean, they're just having trouble getting the main event set. It's just one of those things where I think it's a combination of things. One, there are too many pay-per-views. And two, they get locked into these concept shows. TLC is a concept show. Survivor Series is a concept show. And they have to change these matches to fit the concept, and you kind of end up with just a screwy lineup. Sean, what's your reaction to what Sarge brought up?
I just think it's more to do with, the injuries than anything. Survivor Series. If it had been for the injury, we wouldn't have another change with the Survivor Series main event. They realized that it was a poor main event, and part of it is just, the schedule is a real burnout. Now they have that. All these extra shows to promote and all these overseas tours running into each other and then pay-per-view every month. They have 3 hours of television to fill Monday night. And the booking has kind of, a lot of it has fallen apart. And it's been really, really bad lately, especially since the three-hour format, they kind of got into the groove with it. It's just gotten worse and worse. And, there's nothing they could do with Punk having to have this surgery, so they change it. The TLC match, it just they're going to have a table slash, a chair match that ends in pinfall submission with nothing hanging. They do these, I think it's really silly that they do gimmick pay-per-views like this. I don't think any promotion should do a gimmick pay-per-view. I think storylines should lead to the stipulation matches and not, not vice versa. It's just a messed up case of their philosophy, which they started years ago, was that, the pay-per-views weren't doing well, so now we're going to theme them. One's going to have fatal four-way matches. Another one's got Money in the Bank matches. Hell in a Cell, which used to be something they used to build up to once a year, and they did some really great things with that. Like with the Triple H Batista, they put the Hell in the Cell stipulation at the end of their feud. It was really, really, really good feud. And now, we get to fast forward to what they've done, branding their pay-per-views as stipulation specials. And, all of a sudden, Ryback's headlining his first pay-per-view against Punk in the Hell in the Cell match for no reason. So,
right.
And now you go this month and you got, you got all these guys fighting with ladders, tables, and chairs, and nothing's hanging above the ring. So,
yeah, you're going to have a TLC match with no prize.
I guess I guess you can view, I mean, what are they supposed to do? I guess they could turn the Cena, I mean, they could have turned the Cena match into the TLC match, which it kind of can be anyways, I guess.
Because, Sean, let me throw this thing out real quick, because I don't think they've been very clear about this or even addressed it, but are the NXT guys, are we supposed to believe that they are under contract or not under contract? Because it used to be, when the original Nexus invasion happened, it was these guys just wanted a quote-unquote contract, you know? But now NXT has gone away, and now it's just sort of off the radar on, you know, and it's developmental. Nobody knows about it. If you just watch the main roster stuff, nobody knows NXT even exists now. It's off in a different universe. And so now I think, are these guys just trying to make noise? Do they want a contract or in the storyline? Or is it like they're already under contract and they're just trying to make noise? You know, I don't really distinguish that.
They've gone with the philosophy where they don't care about the details, and since they're not mentioning that the contracts are important or at all in the storyline, then I guess, you know, the WWE universe needs to understand that their contracted talent is the assumption I'm making based on my WWE booking understanding in 2012.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it seems like. It's just like, because I think, well, I mean, I don't know if it would be more intriguing if it was like they're trying to, I think the whole invasion thing, it's so overdone right now. So I don't know that I would like it even. I don't know that I would like it more if it was like they're trying to get a contract. I just want to see more of a purpose to it.
They're just trying to show that, you know, they're there to make sure WWE is fair. You know, protect those that are wrong, and they're under contract, and we need to understand this with WWE. Fill in your blanks booking. I guess, you know, the Moxley had the key line in his backstage interview. You know, he said, if you want to see the NWO, you know, put in the DVD. So he kind of established that they're, you know, they're there and they're under contract, I think, with that line.
Yeah, which I think is, you know, it was a good line. I wonder if that kind of took away from what, it's like, I wonder if some viewers wanted to believe it was an invasion and get excited about it, and then he kind of put, you know, threw some water on that, and now it's like, no, it's just three guys who just want to make noise. Or, like you said, Sean, to right the wrongs and be the shield from injustice. I think there's got to be some more meat to this. And I think Dean Ambrose, like you're writing, what you write about on the site today, Sean, is, I mean, he's a guy that can do it. I mean, Dean Ambrose is like, I think, a money talker, money heel. So he's a guy that needs to be speaking on a regular basis. I want to hear more of his voice, his promos, you know?
Yeah, ever since the first time I heard him and doing promos for Dragon Gate USA and Evolve and his feud with Jacobs that went into both promotion and Homicide and, you know, him and Jacobs had an awesome feud. I had the pleasure of seeing their blow-off match live, which coincidentally I saw live, and the way the pay-per-views worked back then was they were taped, so I saw the setup the next day on pay-per-view, whenever it was. The pay-per-view aired the next week or whatever, so I saw the matches out of order, but they, you know, had some really good matches, and he's a really good talker. He kind of reminds me of Heath Ledger and the Joker. He's got that edge to him, like something's not quite right with him when he's really on.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said in my column before he got to WWE, you know, he's someone that stood out on the independent scene because of his talking, and because he became when he performs, he is that character. You know, you don't get the sense that he's performing like you do with so many wrestlers in TNA and WWE and on the independents. You know, he's one of those few guys in the last 5 years that have come up and really stood out as, you know, on this person that I'm, you know, they become the person they're portraying. And, you know, this guy, he played John Moxley, and, you know, this guy, he's kind of loony. He's, you know, he gets under the skin of the baby faces. He's got this dark side to him. Great connection in the ring with the audience in terms of his facials and mannerisms. You can see a little bit on WWE TV, you know, he takes pleasure in inflicting pain, and kind of after they've done those spots, you just see him turn around and give that look to the crowd. like, you know, I'm really happy about what I just did. And you know, and what makes him different from other independent wrestlers was not that he wasn't a good wrestler, but he wasn't known for, you know, being a technical wrestler, you know, a 60-minute match guy, a five-star match guy, you know, or a high flyer doing springboards. He was known, you know, as a good wrestler, but he really enhanced it all with his personality. And you saw that in his feud with Jimmy Jacobs and Homicide and, you know, back in that time. And it was really fascinating to watch because it was really completely different from what you see on the independents, where guys do longer form matches, you know, physical style, high flying style, you know, counters and things like that. Lots of near falls down the end, you know, training finishes. You know, here's a guy who was just out there, you know, doing a lot of brawling, playing to the crowd, and he really stood out. And it was because of his personality. And I thought to myself, I said, oh man, if this guy ever gets WWE, the first time I saw him, I said, you know, if they plug him in the right way, he's going to be a money heel because he's just, yeah, has this dark personality, and he's a, you know, a different kind of heel, and I think this is a good role for him, this type of stipulation match, TLC, because, you know, he enjoys the destruction of others, and, you know, he also sells, like, when he's getting it dished back to him, he sells, you know, really well, so...
I imagine he's gonna, Sean. I think he's gonna take the table spot at TLC. You know, I think he's gonna be the designated guy to go crashing through a table at that pay per view. Yeah, I think you're. Yeah, I mean, I think you're right on about that. I mean, he's perfect for this group because, you know, Seth Rollins isn't the greatest talker, and Roman Reigns is more the silent type, which I think is a great role for him. So I think Ambrose as a mouthpiece is just spot on. So I'm looking forward to more of him having a chance to talk. And see what he can bring to the table.
You know, Rollins, you know, I think his strength is actually as a face. You know, he's not, I haven't seen him in a while talking, but, you know, wasn't the greatest talker, but he did a little heel turn before he left Ring of Honor for developmental. And he was really good as a heel talker. He was really plugged in, kind of, you know, they did that thing where he turned on the ROH fans before he left, if I recall correctly, or this anti-ROH thing, like, before he left. And, you know, when he's plugged into whatever he's doing, you know, the switch kind of flips, and he's kind of, you know, I think he's going to be one of those guys that needs to be really into what he's, you know, into what he's doing, because, you know, cutting these traditional MMA style, you know, UFC style before the pay-per-view type of special interviews. You know, he was okay, but I just get bored with those pretty quick, you know. But when he's plugged in, he gets pretty good. And I really see him as a face in the future. He's just really good at getting sympathy from the crowd when he's getting beat down the match, and he makes a really good face, you know, kind of a darker face with the... kind of like Moxley, but in a different way, a guy with an edge to him, but a guy that people kind of want to rally behind. But I think he also works well as a heel in this role. But I think, you know, when you watch it, I think you're just going to see, you know, John Moxley is really going to stand out from these guys. I hope, you know, Moxley being paired with Rollins doesn't take away from what Rollins can do, if you know what I mean, because he's also, I'd hate to see him get outshined here. Which could happen if they, you know, it looks like Mox is going to do the bulk of the talking. And, you know,
yeah,
he really stands out. But, you know, Rollins is really good, too. And he's someone who could be very, very good. And he's got some size to him, which is a good in WWE. Which is a plus in WWE. You always got to think about the size. And now these are two guys that are really, really good and could do really, really well in WWE, I think. And you know, I'm excited to see what they do because, you know, I follow the independents, and I follow Tyler. You know, Tyler Black had a longer, more established career on the independents. And he did really, really well for himself despite some, you know, poor booking with him. When ROH booker Gabe Sapolsky got fired, and they kind of, you know, strung him along when the fans wanted to see him with the title. But he ended up doing really well once he got it. So,
you know, he's a guy I followed, and I really want to see both these guys make it, because I see, you know, WWE badly needs stars, and these are guys I watch. And, you know, I see Moxley doing more than Ambrose, but I see Ambrose doing more than Rollins as I mix up my indie names here. But, yeah, I think they can both do big things in WWE. Strengths and weaknesses that they kind of have, and that WWE has to, you know, find those strengths and exploit them, and we'll see if they're able to do that. Right now, of course, you're listening to the PW Torch livecast, and this is Torch assistant editor James Caldwell, and I'm joined by Torch columnist Sean Radican, who, as Sean has said, he's followed the Shield's career individually, Ambrose and Rollins, for a long time on the independents, and so now we're able to see them kind of graduate to the main level, so to speak, and Sean's been covering their career. He did a take on PWTorch.com today, breaking down Dean Ambrose and what he kind of brings to the table in WWE. So be sure to check that out on the website today. Sean, let me get at least one or two more calls while I have you on the air, and then I'll go and let you go. Let's go to the 516 area code. Welcome to the show, 516. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, guys. It's KC from Long Island, New York.
Hey, KC. What's on your mind today?
First, I just want to totally agree with everything you guys said about Moxley being a great talker and being able to lead the group on promos. My only fear for that is that with the product today, that especially with him being new come in, that they overscript him and don't let him, you know, kind of do what he does. You know, I think he was so good on the independent scene because it's not 100 writers coming with him and saying, you say this exactly like this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Totally. Yeah, and what I was going to say, I'll come right back to you, KC, but I think that, and Sean, I mean, I don't know how, I mean, everybody who comes into WWE, you're kind of like, here are your lines, you know. But it's like Moxley has this ability to even take the dumbest material and really make it his own. Like you said earlier, Sean, it doesn't seem like he's acting. It seems like you can give him anything. You know, tell me about this hamburger, this chicken sandwich, and he will make it like the most dastardly and the most just evil hamburger you can think of. Just the way he delivers his lines, it's so amazing how in tune with that character he is. So, Sean, even if he is, like, given a ton of stuff to say and, you know, say this word for word, you know, you mentioned that first promo backstage. What did you see from there where you say he can rise? Do you think he can rise above getting a lot of bad material and still make it work?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even see a reason for concern to go up yet because, you know, I mean, I'll say this. If I ask you this question, you know, who did you think was scripted for the Shield promo, Ambrose or Rollins?
Oh, Rollins, for sure.
Yeah, and there you go. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they let him, you know, they give him the bullet points. If it's not already to that point, I mean, it'll be there soon. Just like CM Punk can talk, I mean, I think this guy can talk even better, you know. and this is a guy that's not, you know, playing to the internet when he talks and playing the backstage stuff. I mean, this is a guy that's plugged into his character, is plugged into the material, and this is something they need, you know, beyond, you know, Punk's a really good talker, but I think he, you know, too much of that pipe bomb stuff and backstage and, you know, stuff that only a periphery of the audience knows about. No,
right.
Dean Ambrose doesn't care about the internet. You know, he's got, you know, he even says on his Twitter account, they made me do this in the byline. So, you know, he doesn't like the internet. He doesn't care. I mean, maybe he cared. I don't know. But I know as a wrestler, you know, a lot of these independent guys, you know, pay attention to what people are saying and incorporate into their character. This guy never did that. You know, it was all about his storyline, what he was doing in the storyline. And I think that's something that, you know, really stands out in this day and age. You know, when you're coming up from WWE, you know, Moxley might, Dean Ambrose, you know, doesn't have that indie reputation because he went so quick, you know, from the minor indies to try and get USA involved to getting signed, you know, because people just saw him talk and it was so different from what you saw from other independent wrestlers out there. And it's about plugging into his character. It's not about, you know, Triple H and Stephanie backstage holding people down. It's just about his storyline and what a psychopath he is and this edge he has, and you don't quite know what he's going to do. And you watch him in the ring, and, you know, we talked a couple of weeks ago when I was on with you about bad B-movie acting. You know, this guy is a character, you know, and I think he's a good character, and, you know, and he's plugged in, like I said, and he's someone that, you know, give him his material, and he's going to work it into the storyline, and he's going to make it work. And I think they're going to give him reign to do what he wants on the microphone, because he's not going to be out there making these slighted references to his opponents. I wouldn't expect. I think it's going to be about his character, what his character wants to do, what the Shield wants to do, what their purpose is, and getting heat from the crowd.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
Yeah, no, you're right on. You're right on about that. Casey, let me go back to you. Any follow-up on that, on Ambrose or the Shield?
Well, with that, I hope so. Let me say that I definitely hope so. I don't have too much faith in the product nowadays for them to actually let guys go out and just be there. But on a different point, I wanted to get to the Cena and Ziggler change for the briefcase now. You guys had said that, like, the week before it actually got changed to that, saying that, oh, I hope that they don't just, you know, put it up in the air and say now that it's John Cena, it could be for any title, and he'll go, and that's how they get him to The Rock. I think he's come out in an interview and even said, oh, now I could, if I get the briefcase, I can go after Big Show, so I'm glad for that. But
right.
I don't think, now that I'm thinking about it more, that they're doing it to have John Cena actually get the briefcase, more like have Dolph win by getting the briefcase, but not getting a pinfall on Super Cena.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
I'm also thinking that this is like a miscarriage of justice to also bring the Shield into that match, because if you notice, they kind of did that with the rogue referee coming back, and it was an injustice because he had to fight Randy Orton to try and get a contract, and then you see the Shield come in. And that's all I got for you guys.
Yeah, great topics, Casey. Thanks for your call. Two things let me ask you about, Shaw. One is this too soon for the Shield to be in a big match or any match? Is this too soon to where, you know, you kind of anticipate Ryback runs through them? You know, they get a fluky win, but their first match is already out of the way. There isn't that, you know, they're not investing more time into what's going to happen when they wrestle for the first time. It's like, boom, they're suddenly in a match. They're suddenly in a pay-per-view main event on very short notice, and you can't get that back. So, Sean, do you think is it too soon to go ahead and put them in a big match spotlight, or is this the right timing?
I think it's the right timing, but only because of what's going on. You know, it's like they're the second most popular issue beyond Ryback, and I'm not quite sure if he, you know, gave a crap yet about whether or not the title was on the line in this match against Punk. That was yet to
right.
be figured out. I think it's the right time. I wouldn't have done it if, you know, the Punk hadn't gone out and had surgery. I wouldn't have done it because you still have the Ryback Punk issue, and the Shield would probably be involved in that match. You know, you take that away, they're, you know, 1B. Their act right now. So, you know, they're all over television for 3 hours the other night. You know, they're gaining traction with the crowd. They've been a good amount of heat, you know, so why not do it? And, you know, really when you think about it, it's almost a 3-on-1 match the way Kane and Daniel Bryan have been treated. So, you know, I think it's going to be more about Ryback and the Shield and their issue. And that's, you know, that's the 1B issue. And plus, you have all the bells and whistles of a TLC match. So, you know, these guys probably are going to excel at that type of match, the Shield.
I know Ambrose is very good at brawling styles of matches. Rollins can do some high flying, so I think you're going to get to see what the Shield can do. I mean, these guys are, I don't know about Roman Reigns, but, Seth Rollins can go, I think, this could be his chance, I would do it because I know, maybe not everyone out there right now is familiar with their work because, most of the people watch WWE, they don't know about ROH, don't know about Dragon Gate USA. But, I know about Moxley and Rollins. They can go out there and they can, they can more than carry the weight for their team and let Reigns be a power guy. And, Moxley can be, the brawling guy and Rollins can be the, he can do the high-flying stuff and the big stunts as well, So I have full confidence that they can, be very good in that environment and really do well as heels. And really interact well with Ryback and sell for him and make him look powerful. But also, they get the win that really establishes them. They don't have to pin Ryback or, there's Kane and Daniel Bryan in there. They can really establish themselves. Maybe they put Ryback out through the table and then pin, Bryan or Kane. So I think it's a win-win situation because it's not trackdoor booking in the sense that they have to protect Ryback in this match because he's, it's a one-on-one, it's three-on-three. Like I said, two of the three guys in the Shield I know can go for sure and really get the, really wow the crowd with what they're able to do, as especially in the heel role. So I think it's the right move given the circumstances.
When you said that, Sean, it made me do surgery to get out of another Punk versus Ryback match because, like you said, what do you do? I mean, we're not going to have Ryback win the title from Punk right before the Rumble. So I don't think that WWE might have come to the point where they said, we can't have Ryback lose three straight title matches on pay-per-view, or at least not lose, but not win the title three straight times. That's what was being set up, was he was going to lose or not win for the third straight time on pay-per-view. So I wonder if there was a sense of like, all right, Punk, yeah, go and do your surgery. We'll change this match. We'll save you. We'll save the Rumble and get out of this match at TLC. I'm not going to affirm that. I'm just total speculation, but it would make sense because, like you're saying, Sean, Ryback can still be stand tall, not have another failed pay-per-view title match on his resume, and he can get his spots in, and also the Shield can look strong in the process as well. So it does kind of make you wonder if they might have decided to go ahead and have this switch very conveniently because of it will, just would have been three straight title match losses for Ryback. I don't know.
Yeah, you can look at it that way, but then, why do you build it for all those weeks? Because you have to know that.
Because they're crazy.
No. Well, yeah. But
you're right.
I don't see that being, I guess, nothing surprises me, but I'd be surprised. I'd be, mildly surprised, I guess, if that was the case. I think this was a case to protect their plans at The Rock. If Punk's knee, it's been bothering him for a while. They got to the end of January for him to heal for the Royal Rumble, and that's, that's a big match for them. Finally, WWE can be cool again. So, WrestleMania season hits. It's a good time for him to go and have his knee checked out and do the surgery now, as opposed to, what happens if he keeps wrestling in a TLC main event, and they could really botch up their plans, with Rock at the Rumble and then, going on to face Cena and then WrestleMania and even Steven comes into play.
Yeah, get his win back, right? No, you're right on, Sean.
I don't know why he'd want to, because he said his world would end if he lost last year, so...
But then his world was alive, and I guess he saw he beat Brock Lesnar, and then he beat Brock, and everybody was okay after that. Yeah,
I think the NBC special next year will be called Twice in a Lifetime. So,
or Twice as Nice, or How to Do It Again. Yeah, you're right on. Sean, the time has flown by. We had a good discussion on the Shield here. I kept you on way too long beyond the time that you agreed to. So I appreciate you staying on to talk some more Shield and some more wrestling. So before I let you go, Sean, give me a plug for, I know you have an interview that you tried recording yesterday with I almost said Bullet Bob, But Brutal Bob, after his Iron Week, just an amazing Iron Week feat, wrestling 60-minute matches for 7 straight days. I know you tried to record that yesterday, technical issues, so you're going to try it again this weekend. But based on what you're going to talk about, since you've already done a run-through, what can VIP members look out for this weekend?
Yeah, I feel terrible. I had a really good interview with Bob yesterday, about 65 minutes, and the technical issues popped up, and I didn't get the file when I finished. I feel awful. He was a really good interview. Just about, you know, how he's trying to establish himself beyond the role of a manager in a nutshell in ROH and get himself noticed so he can get an opportunity to wrestle, but also give the guys he's wrestling an opportunity to show they can, you know, do more than they've been allowed to show on the independent scene. You know, he wrestled Adam Cole for an hour, popular ROH name, Antonio Thomas, who you might know from the Heartthrobs, and some other guys. I can't remember all. Julian Starr, an independent wrestler. Biff Busick, who is good, who I saw in an independent show in September. Grizzly Redwood from Ring of Honor had to sub for Steve Corino. And the match, I went to the match, the last one live last weekend. He wrestled Vinny Marcellia, who's wrestled some matches for ROH. And they had Vinny's been pretty much a high flyer every time I've seen him. And he went in there with Bob and did a 60-minute technical wrestling submission-based match. I don't think they bounced off the ropes until what Bob did was the last 10 minutes were called a sprint where there are no rest periods between falls. I don't think they wrestled, moved against the ropes until then. And,
wow.
And I was really, you know, shocked how good Bob is and how good Marcellia is. And, you know, they're just this mat-based match. And, you know, it was a dark match before a local indie show. He didn't ticket it. He just, you know, used different venues out of his own pocket to do this, to tape it, all these matches, and put them online. But, you know, there, you know, a lot of, you know, the wrestler, it was kind of a fun environment. A lot of the wrestlers were around that were going to be on the show. You know, kids from the neighborhood and some adults came by to check it out. Mike Mondo and Caleb Seltzer did commentary for the match. It was really good, and it really opened my eyes as to, you know, he's dropped a lot of weight in the last few years. He used to be a job guy in ROH or a dark match guy in Ring of Honor during, you know, Gabe Sapolsky's era there. I'd see him in Boston and in Connecticut when I went to all those shows. It always hit me because he was announced from where I live, you know, Providence, Rhode Island. So it kind of, when he came back on with Mike Bennett a couple of years ago, kind of rang it, but, oh, that's the guy from the ROH shows all those years ago, and he's lost a lot of weight. And
wow.
And he's trained a lot of wrestlers. He talked about that, and it's just trying to get noticed. And he cut a really awesome promo after his match, you know, to Jim Cornette and to Delirious, you know, telling him to give him a chance and show him what he can do. And I think he deserves a shot, you know, because he's someone who can make other wrestlers better. And, you know, he's someone that can really enhance talent, I feel, and have good physical matches. You know, it's a young man's game in ROH, like he says. But after watching him, I think, you know, he's someone they could use. I mean, you know, it's going to be hard because he's got that, you know, that gimmick of Brutal Bob with Mike Bennett. And you're like, oh, that guy's a wrestler now. So he's going to have to overcome that. But, you know, I was really impressed watching him. I had no idea he could do the thing, you know, technical wrestler like that. Reminded me a lot of some of William Regal and Fit Finley's better matches where they just, you know, they go on the mat and they work a hold. And Vinny Marcellia was really good as well, and he's from Rhode Island too. And I'd like to see more from him. I guess you never know what these guys can do unless you see them do something different and excel at it. So I was very impressed with Vinny. Really blown away from Bob. I didn't expect that. I saw him. He wrestled Adam Cole on a ROH high pay-per-view I went to for 10 minutes. And, you know, it's by no means bad, but I was really impressed this past weekend. And I'm looking forward to talking to him again. He's got a lot of good stories. He's met a lot of people. He's been doing this for a long time. You know, he's a WWE extra guy for a long time. He told some stories about that. So hopefully I can bring it all back out of him.
Take two. Recreate all
that. It's terrible because there's a lot of good. There's so many good stories because you know so many people. You know, he talked about Jim Cornette telling him, you know, just being straight. You know, Bob went to this tryout. There's this great story told for Ring of Honor. You know, one of those seminars, and you know, he told me the management laughed when they saw his name because they had all these young guys, and then you know, Bob was there. And then he kind of impressed on with his performance, but Cornette told him, you know, I just see you as a manager. So, you know, he wants to prove himself and get an opportunity beyond what he's gotten.
Gotcha. Yeah, and hopefully you can recreate that on Sunday when you record. So that's definitely an interview we're checking out. I don't think Bill Bob is very fascinating. Like you said, Sean, he's trying to break the mold of a manager and become a wrestler, so... and you know, I'm sure you'll talk about that again with Brutal Bob this weekend. So VIP members can look out for that interview this weekend. If not a VIP member, pwtorch.com/goVIP is the place to go to find out how to subscribe and become a VIP member. Get access to Sean's interview with Brutal Bob Evans this weekend. So, Sean, I will go ahead and let you go. Thanks for being on the show for so long today. It's been great talking to you.
Take care.
All right. That is Torch Call. I'm Sean Radican. It was good to talk to Sean on a very timely week with the Shield all over the show on WWE programming this week. So let's go ahead and go back to the phone lines, get some more phone calls on, and then we'll take more phone calls and bonus time here on the livecast. 773 area code. Welcome to show 773. Please state your name and where you're calling from. 773, you're on the air. I wonder what TV show that was. That was sounded like a commercial, so couldn't get a feel for what the actual show was. But 773, we'll try you again in a second. Let's go to the 281 area code. Now this is Houston, so let's find out who's calling. Let us know what your name is and what's on your mind.
This is Justin from Houston area.
Hey, Justin, what's going on today?
Not too much. I know we kind of beat the Shield and CM Punk thing into the ground, so I kind of want to change subjects a little bit on that, if you don't mind.
Sure, no problem.
All right, I got two questions for you. One, do you think that, well, kind of relating to the CM Punk incident, do you think that it would be practical for WWE to kind of introduce sort of like interim titles for situations like this? And also, what guys do you think both in TNA and WWE would do better if they somehow found ways out of their contracts and went overseas or to Mexico to try and better their careers?
Yeah, you know, I think a guy like Magnus kind of comes by to somebody in TNA who, I don't know that TNA really knows what to do with him right now. They know sure him, he's good talent, but I don't know that they know how to, like, build him as a top star. So I would love to see Magnus. I mean, Magnus is very young. And, you know, he's still young. He came to TNA in his early 20s. So, you know, he's in his mid-20s now. I would love to see him go to Japan. He actually did some stuff in Japan with Samoa Joe earlier this year. So I'd like to see him go kind of do an independent, you know, a singles route and go to Japan or go to Mexico and you know, hone his craft and become an all-around star. And then come back to TNA and become a big star. Obviously, he has the European UK background, so he has that going for him. I'd like to see him go to go to Japan, go to Mexico, and work with some different guys, and come back to TNA and become a bigger star. As far as a guy in WWE, I'm trying to think who comes to mind. Somebody in WWE who maybe could benefit from going somewhere else and coming back. You know. Let's see, I'm trying to think like a Justin Gabriel. I don't know. I'm kind of thinking about guys who are already international, like a Gabriel, like a Cesaro. But if they're an American star who maybe could benefit, I don't know. No one's coming to mind about WWE. I'm trying to think of somebody who could really benefit. He's gotten maybe a loss in the shuffle right now. I mean, you could think of a guy like Michael McGillicuddy or. Let's just say McGillicuddy, a guy who I think has a lot of upside, but it really isn't being utilized right now. Somebody could benefit from going to another country, going to Japan, you know, using a Kurt Hennig background, and then developing a following out there in Japan and then coming back to WWE. I think that would be a good move on McGillicuddy's career, for his career on his part. So I would say McGillicuddy and Magnus would be two guys I could see from WWE and TNA that might maybe would benefit from going somewhere else and then coming back. Interim titles, you know, CM Punk, I don't think they will strip him of the title. I don't see that happening, but it might be interesting if they created that a situation where you have an interim title like in UFC, that comes back from injury, and then challenges the interim champion to determine who the real champion is. You know, there's a built-in match right there to have the real champion versus the not-real champion, if you will. So, yeah, I think that is a good move. It's something that WWE would not probably not do because they just don't do that. But I think it would be a good move if it ever did come to that point where Punk's going to be out for like 3 months. Yeah, create an interim champion and then have them unify the titles. I think that would be a good move, but I don't see that happening, unfortunately. But now we'll have everyone for calling in. We're gonna have some bonus calls after this after the music. Tune in again on Friday for Wade Keller's Interview Friday with Christopher Daniels.
Want to know when the next episode of the PW Torch Livecast is scheduled or catch up on a show you missed? Check out our homepage, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can stream the latest shows right from that page or download the show or get a link to subscribe on a podcast app. That's pwtorchlivecast.com for the latest shows and also catch up on shows you missed at pwtorchlivecast.com.
Some bonus phone calls here on the live cast. Try another phone call. Let's go to the 83.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, hear you just fine.
This is James from Houston. How you doing, James?
Doing good, James. I'm talking into a mirror. Hey, James, how you doing? James from Houston. Yeah. Well, go ahead. Let's look at my.
Yeah, I have two questions. One's long-winded, so I'll get to that one, and then my second question. The first question that I have is, like, you were aware that Sheamus was down here for the car festival a couple weeks ago, right?
Go to it, bud. Did you go to it?
No, I didn't, but that brings me to my point. I watch WWE classics on demand a lot, and I like to watch the old Raw episodes and stuff like that. And they were really good about the little details when they're not on TV, like, you know, hey, if you're in the Corpus Christi area, you know, WWE is going to be live on Friday night, or if you want to catch some live action, they're going to be here on, you know, Sunday night, you know, in Florida or whatever. And it was like those little things, like, you know, hey, Sheamus is going to make an appearance, so if you happen to be in the California area on this day, you know, come out and meet Sheamus. The first question is, do you think that the little things like that is preventing WWE now from producing a little bit better revenue than they could have, you know, with advertising house shows and appearances other than the internet? Because there's still a lot of people who still don't use the internet or don't go to WWE.com and stuff like that.
Right.
My second question that I have is, we've seen it with Daniel Bryan and Mark Henry last year, The Miz the year before that, and Jack Swagger the year before that. So I want a bold prediction from you. I think Dolph Ziggler is already going to be one of them with the Money in the Bank briefcase, but which superstar do you think or you would like to see get their first world title that hasn't had their first major world title next year?
Bold prediction. I'm going to say, I mean, Ziggler's too easy. That's an easy pick. That's like picking either Notre Dame or Alabama to win the national title. Of course, one of them's going to win the national title. So I'm going to say bold prediction. I got to go through the roster, man. First time world champion. I'm gonna give you Dean Ambrose in 2013. And maybe that's just because Sean and I talked about Dean Ambrose for about half an hour on the show today. But I'm going to predict Dean Ambrose as heel champion, either WWE champion or World Heavyweight champion, sometime in 2013. I'm gonna mark it down as my bold prediction for 2013 is Ambrose as champ in 2013. So. And not because he's the greatest wrestler, not because he's, the tallest guy or the most intimidating guy, but just because he's the best rising star talker who can talk people into hating him to where they want to see him lose. And talk his way into a title match, and then he'll talk people into wanting to see him lose that title once he wins it. So I'm going to say Dean Ambrose, 2013 World Heavyweight or WWE Champion. That's my bold prediction for 2013. So, as far as Sheamus and promotion, yeah, I'm with you, James, and I think that they do miss out on that a lot. They do miss out on the little things that they could use to promote, things like Sheamus is going to be in the area. The house shows that, run very generic ads during Raw and SmackDown on television for the local shows. I think they do miss out on things. I guess their thinking is that it's more important to run the ads for, look at the ads that go in now commercial break. Those are usually, the latest NWO, they're usually national ads. They're usually the NWO DVD ad, the Attitude Era DVD ad, fill in the blank of the DVD ad. And they're trying to use that time and that money to reach a broader, just the national audience, the same people watching the Raw in New York that are watching in California, that are watching in Ohio and Texas, they want to reach that entire audience within 30 seconds. So then, once they get past that, then they run the local ad. In using those 30 seconds, they run that local ad in Houston, but they're not going to sit there and do the local ad for the Sheamus appearance. I think they should. But their thinking is that that's not a priority. That's not a priority investment in their mind. So they're not going to spend the money to promote, hey, Sheamus is going to be at the Autorama in Houston on Sunday from 1 to 3. It's not a priority for them. So those things get skipped over. Whereas I think they should find a way to still promote that on television. Like you're saying, James, not just on the website, not just relying on the website. Because as you said, not a lot of people go to the website relative to their viewing audience. They're going to attract more people if you advertise it on Raw or SmackDown than just have a little blurb on the event center on their website. But their thinking is that it's more important to save some money in that time for the big national ad for the ad fair DVD than a local ad for the Sheamus appearance or, fill in the blank appearance. So that's just sort of the economics of it that kind of prevents them from doing the small things, like you're saying. But I mean, those small things can add up over time to mean big things. So I'm with you on that, James. Let me take some email questions as I kind of sort through who we have on phone banks and bonus time here. Let me get Christina here for a second. Let me go to Jerry. This is Jerry Roth from Illinois. He says that with WWE now having to change the card twice within the last 2 months of the last two pay-per-views, do you think that some people will not want to order future pay-per-views based on a match they want to see due to card subject to change? I think what's going on here, they're changing the lineups before the actual pay-per-view. But if they do come to it, so I don't think it's going to affect people thinking that if I order a show for the Royal Rumble, I'm going to all of a sudden get Elimination Chamber match instead. I don't think that's going to happen. And that's sort of an exaggeration. But what does CM Punk versus Ryback was still on for the pay-per-view? And the going to Monday's Raw, they're still promoting that matchup. And then let's say this coming Tuesday, they make that change. They don't have another Raw episode to note the change and to promote the change. Then I think you're going to run into a problem because then the people who watch Raw don't go to the website, don't watch SmackDown, don't watch Main Event. That's what the problem. That's when they run into the problem. But now they have an extra episode of Raw to promote the change, to promote the new pay-per-view Main Event. That's gonna prevent some of what you're talking about, Jerry, which is that people are gonna say, you know what, I'm not gonna order future pay-per-views because of how many times they've changed the lineup. I think it's when they actually have a lineup, and then on very short notice they change the Main Event. That's where I think they're gonna have some problems. But they've given themselves a little bit of enough time to be able to get away with it. The last two shows, it's not ideal. It's not the best thing that they could be doing. It's not good, you know, over the long haul. But they've at least given themselves some time to promote the change on Raw with at least 1 or 2 weeks of notice. So in this case, 1 week. Not the best, but at least to promote that change. next question is Brian from Des Moines. Yeah, the so-called experts are saying the world is coming to an end on 12/12/12. I believe it was actually 12/21, but I guess some people said both. Can you talk about some of wrestling's best moments? Oh, my gosh. That's very broad, very, very broad topic, Brian. Some of wrestling's best moments? Wow. I mean, there's so many. If you narrow it down, I mean, my goodness, Goldberg and the Georgia Dome beating Hulk Hogan for the title. Sting, you know, some of the Sting stuff when he was in WCW. The Rock stuff in Stone Cold with the beer bath and the ring. Austin. Sorry, Rock versus Austin at WrestleMania. Austin versus Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania. Undertaker versus Triple H at WrestleMania. Hogan versus Michaels at SummerSlam. I mean, I'm thinking more about matches right now, but I mean, just so many moments. You go old school, you know, go old school with Hogan and Andre. You know, probably what people would say, Steamboat and Savage at WrestleMania 3. You could say Mr. T and Roddy Piper in the mid 80s. You go even further back, go to World Class Championship Wrestling and at some of the holiday shows. I mean, there's just some amazing storyline developments that happen in World Class Championship Wrestling. Go to AWA. If you bring Wade Keller on the show, it's on AWA. Just so many. I mean, just pick up a DVD, watch on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and type in greatest wrestling moments, and you can find all kinds of videos that have a lot of good stuff about that. So I think that's a good place to start with that, Brian. So I like the question. Very creative question. I like it. All right, let's go to next question. This is Casey from Huntington, West Virginia. She or he says, we are Marshall. So, okay, that's a good shout-out there. And this is the question. It says, with TNA Lockdown being the Alamo Dome, will TNA attempt to use that huge space, or will they be using one of the smaller areas located in the Alamo Dome, such as one of the theaters that seat between 6,000 and 10,000? I think they're going to still use the actual Alamo Dome, stadium. Quick sip of water. I'm going to actually be at the Alamo Dome for the Alamo Bowl this year. So I'm going to go scout the arena. I've never actually been to the Alamo Dome. So I'm going to go scout the building before TNA comes in March. I'll be back. I'm going to San Antonio twice, once for the Alamo Bowl, and then once again in March for the lockdown pay-per-view of the Alamo Dome. So I will be I'll be scouting out the show, the venue on December 20, I don't know, whatever day that is. The end of December, I'm going to scout that building. So I'm going to check that out. And I think they're going to use the actual football stadium and just sort of curtain it off. I remember when the Spurs used to play there for basketball, not even football, for basketball. They curtained off a portion of the arena, and they just sort of ran that section of the arena for basketball. So I imagine they'll do something similar for TNA. Now, if they get a massive number of tickets sold, then they expand how much room they use in the building. But I think they will actually use the actual football arena and just sort of curtain it off like they would do for basketball. So that's sort of my understanding of what they're going to do with that venue. So That's my my understanding of what they're going to do with that. So, I'm very curious to see how many people they draw, though. I'm very curious about that. Do they draw a big crowd? Does it look empty? Does it look, you know, can they make it look full or somewhat full? So I'll be very curious to see how it actually turns out, and I'll be paying attention to that when I go there in March to cover lockdown in person. So, good question, Casey. Thanks for your email. And Casey's a VIP member, so we want to thank you, Casey, for being a VIP member and for your recommendation of the VIP option on PWTorch.com. If you're not a VIP member, PWTorch.com/GoVIP is the place to go. And then also we'll have a VIP show this week. I talked to Greg Parks earlier today, and we're going to have the interview with Greg Parks on the VIP version of the live cast today. And we will go ahead and play that into the show. Sorry to all of our bonus phone calls that we try to get to. We're just running out of time, and I'm not sure who all has dropped off and dropped back on. We had some people who we couldn't hear. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap up the show here, and I'm going to go ahead and plug that tomorrow's live cast, Interview Friday. Torch Editor Awake Now will have TNA wrestler Christopher Daniels on tomorrow's live cast. So be sure to tune in again at blogtalkradio.com at 5:30 Eastern here on the PW Torch live cast. If you're listening to us on iTunes or on Blog Talk Radio after the fact, you can email your questions in advance for Mr. Daniels. PWTorchLivecast@gmail.com. That's PWTorchLivecast@gmail.com. That's the place to go to email your questions for Daniels. Or you can call us up here live on the live cast during the show at 646-721-9828 and speak to Daniels live on Friday, 5:30 Eastern on blogtalkradio.com website. So that's tomorrow's show. And VIP members can stick around for our after show with Torch Goldman's Greg Parks, who usually is on Thursdays if he's available. But we went ahead and recorded an interview talking about the hot topics of wrestling this week. So that is it for VIP members. All right, we are now joined by PW Torch columnist Greg Parks here on a Thursday afternoon. Greg, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Thanks, James.
And good to talk to you. It's been a little while. We've had a Thanksgiving break, and a lot of stuff's happened since then. And obviously this week, Greg, the big story is CM Punk's injury. WWE has changed the TLC main event. It's now a six-man tag. You know, with the Shield against Ryback and Team Hell No. What do you make of what's going on with CM Punk this week and the new TLC main event, and just your overall take on where they stand with the WWE title?
Yeah, there's quite a bit going on with WWE this week. None of it really good, especially when the ratings came out and then CM Punk having to have surgery and having to be taking off TLC. So, you know, it's an interesting decision because they're putting the buy rate of TLC squarely in the hands of the Shield, three guys who were just called up from developmental, and I'm sure this is a lot sooner than WWE wants to rely on them as a drawing card, but circumstances dictate this, and you know it's not a situation where they can strip Punk of the title because of their long-term booking plans involving Punk against The Rock at the Royal Rumble and perhaps after that as well. So, you know, it'll be interesting. John Cena and Dolph Ziggler as well. I mean, that they probably expect that to carry the day much more so than Team Hell No and Ryback against the Shield. But we'll also see how much more steam they can get out of Team Hell No. WWE has been pushing that very hard, and I think it's losing a little bit of its steam. But the attacks by the Shield have certainly put Daniel Bryan and Kane on the same page as far as the storyline goes. So that's a bit of a different take than what they had been doing with Team Hell No, with just those two not being able to get along.
Rich Fan, formerly of the Primetime Friday Laughcast with Bruce Mitchell here. I want to tell you about my new show, The Deep Dive with Rich Fan. On Saturdays at 6 p.m. Eastern weekly, join us as we dive into a single subject, some weeks as serious as race, gender, and stereotyping in wrestling, to as fun as which IC champs could fit into another era, and anything in between. We'll have guests from inside and outside the Torch family to cover the subject of the week, and of course your calls and emails. Prior to each episode, I'll put out on social media the subject and some notes, places where you can also bone up on the subject of the week if you're so inclined. I'll also devote shows to two of my favorite international promotions, New Japan Pro Wrestling and Progress. all are welcome. No secret handshakes here because Saturday nights on the live cast are officially all right for diving.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the Shield. I mean, pretty much being thrown into the fire in a pay-per-view main event. What have you made of them so far through a couple, you know, 2 or 3 weeks by now? I mean, I think they're going to be slowly bringing them along, but I think they want more of a buzz for this group, and I don't know if there's necessarily a ton of buzz compared to what they might have expected. And I don't know if that's just because we're so soon removed from Nexus and the Core and, you know, Nexus rebooted. And what's your take so far on the Shield and how they've been received and in the way WWE, I mean, WWE put them in like 5 segments on Monday's Raw, and granted, it's a 3-hour show. But what's your feeling about the Shield so far as they've been introduced?
Well, as much as we complain about mystery angles and angles that and storylines that have unanswered questions that will presumably be answered later, and you know, we complain that, okay, well, they're not going to be answered later, so why even discuss it? But I think the lack of buzz surrounding the Shield is because we're not wondering who the next member of the group is. We're not wondering what their purpose is. We're not wondering a lot of the natural questions that came along with Nexus and the Aces and Eights and most of the Invasion storylines that we've seen lately. Most of those questions are answered, which I think is a good thing. The only question that seems unanswered is what, if any, connection is there to CM Punk? So I think it's a good thing that that's the only question out there because WWE and TNA have not really shown a willingness to answer some of those questions as quickly as fans believe they should or at all. So the fact that there aren't all these questions, while it's also not creating a buzz because there are not all these hypotheticals floating around from fans, but it does give the Shield a little bit of more of a concrete base and more structure, I think, than even Aces and Eights, because as much as Aces and Eights has been on TV, we know so little about that group, what their purpose is, who their leader is, that sort of thing. And you don't get that sense with the Shield.
Yeah, and part of it is, you know, we know the names and the faces with the Shield. We know who's doing the attacks. And, well, yeah, like you said, we don't know. I think, yeah, like you said, the biggest question is the CM Punk Association. Is that there? Is there not there? And that's sort of that mystery that they've been teasing. And I think I don't know that people are patient enough to wait for that. You know, I think they want to know now and then let's move on and see what happens from that.
Well,
so.
I think they want to know now, James, but they want some kind of assurance that it will be revealed eventually. And
sure.
You know, going back to the Kevin Nash, Triple H, Textgate, I mean, WWE, like I said, WWE and TNA have a terrible history of not only revealing what's necessary, but revealing it in a way that makes sense. So I think fans aren't necessarily clamoring for the answers immediately, but they just want some kind of assurance that, hey, we're going to find out. It's going to make sense in the end. And I don't think fans have that belief in WWE right now.
Yeah, no, I think you're right on about that. That's a great point. And, you know, now they bring back Brad Maddox and kind of associate him with the Shield. I mean, the Shield attacked Randy Orton after Orton beat Maddox. So that one is, we kind of expected that link there. It all links back to Punk and Heyman. What did you make of them bringing back Maddox, who, you know, on a 3-hour show, he only had a couple of segments, but he kind of turned into one of the stars of the show with how he presented himself. I saw you tweet about how high you were about his just the way he was able to present himself as an actor in that character. What did you make of how they brought back Maddox? And do you think this is going to turn into, like, a weekly thing where, you know, Mickey Girl sets up, you know, Orton or Cena or Sheamus to come out and just beat the crap out of him and never get a contract? I mean, what's your take on Maddox right now?
Yeah, I was a little surprised to see them. I thought that his whole storyline had kind of run its course as quickly as it did. But, you know, you mentioned the 3-hour RAW. You mentioned the need for something to fill that time. And also, you know, it does. They kept bringing him up in relation to CM Punk, so you did almost kind of get the sense that his time wasn't over in WWE, and now you've got this link of, like you said, Maddox, the Shield, they're all related to CM Punk now in one form or another. So it did make sense to bring Maddox back in order to establish that link between the Shield and CM Punk with Brad Maddox and the Shield attacking Randy Orton after the match. But if they're just throwing Maddox on there to be that link and don't really have anything more for him than, you know, I don't necessarily think that's the case, but it's a possibility.
Yeah, and one other item on Raw that I wanted to touch on was the end of the show with CM Punk and The Miz, and you know, they're trying to transition Miz into this face role. I just don't know if he can pull it off in a traditional WWE sense. I mean, he could always be like a Randy Orton who, you know, Orton kind of acts like a heel sometimes and people love him. I just don't know if that's there with WWE's audience and The Miz. I don't know if that connection is there. So Greg, you had this lie detector skit at the end of the show. Miz and Punk are kind of going back and forth, trading jabs. And I don't know. I didn't like this segment at all. That portion of the lie detector segment. What did you make of it? What do you make of The Miz so far as, I mean, I guess a babyface, opposite CM Punk and other heels. What's your take on Punk and also the lie detector test at the end of the show?
I'm a little bit higher on Miz as a heel than a lot of people, as a babyface than a lot of people are right now. I do think his heel run had kind of run its course, and I think that he needed this turn as a babyface to keep him fresh.
Sure.
But I don't see him like a Randy Orton babyface. In fact, I see just the opposite. I see him as more of a John Cena babyface in that on the mic, he's going to come across as annoying. He's going to have his cute little catchphrases. He's going to do that stuff and work the mic in a way that makes a lot of adults cringe. I think that's, based on what I've seen so far, that's going to be his MO as a babyface on the mic. And I think that's geared more toward how John Cena operates than a Randy Orton.
No, that's a good point, because he still does sort of that really, really, you know, and that, you know, by the sixth time he does it, it's kind of annoying, but you know, it's like they're trying to reinforce it to the audience and have them catch on, like he's saying something and they're responding, and it's like this cool thing. But yeah, I mean, to you and me, Greg, yeah, it does seem sort of, the word grating kind of comes to mind. Just the way he does it, because he's not really, I mean, he's kind of toning down the annoying Miz, and that's almost what's making him a babyface. He's just kind of toning down the annoying part. So I don't know, but you know, we'll kind of see how it plays out. And he does need a firm opponent to work with, I think. He kind of has dabbled with Punk, and you know, he really hasn't found that heel to make him a face. They really haven't found that opponent for him yet. So I'm kind of waiting for that to happen and maybe reinforce a little bit more and you know, sort of solidify him as a face and not just sort of a guy who's sort of fooling around, picking out the – right now it feels like he's just kind of picking out heels and calling out heels on their stuff, you know. But he's not really feuding with anybody. And so that's what I'm kind of waiting for, is that to happen. Final item from WWE, Greg. SmackDown – right now, SmackDown's kind of, you know, it's a Big Show and Sheamus show. You cover it on Friday nights on PWTorch.com. What's your feel on SmackDown, the state of the brand, and what sort of the strengths and weaknesses that you see about the Friday night show right now?
Well, usually so goes the main event that goes the show, and the main event right now being Sheamus and Big Show has been pretty entertaining, more so than I would have expected, both in the ring and out of the ring.
Sure.
And that makes SmackDown pretty easy on the eyes, pretty easy to watch and easy to get through. So, you know, it's been a pretty good show lately. Not knock your socks off good or anything like that, but it's something where, you know, if you have nothing else going on a Friday night, it's probably worth checking out. You know, they've got Antonio Cesaro's getting a push. They've got Sin Cara back from injury. So there's a lot to like athletically on SmackDown. It's not to the point where it was several years ago when, you know, you had the SmackDown 6 who were just blowing everything that was happening on Raw out of the water as far as athletically and in the ring. It's certainly not to that point, especially because SmackDown wrestlers show up on Raw so often. But it is something where it is a pretty good two-hour show, and I think Raw being 3 hours makes you appreciate SmackDown even more because it is only 2 hours. So if you need a WWE fix and don't feel like sitting through 3 hours of Raw or don't feel like DVRing to get through the good parts of Raw, I think SmackDown is something you should be looking forward to.
And that's what it seems like SmackDown's become, is kind of what you're talking about, a show that either you don't have anything else going on in a Friday night or you just kind of want to watch 2 hours of wrestling. Yeah, because I mean, there's like very little storyline development as of late. I mean, all the SmackDown storyline developments on Raw now, because they have to fill a 3 hour show and make it compelling. Yeah, so it does feel like SmackDown is just sort of like a 2 hour house show where it's, you know, there's a few more backstage skits and there's some in ring skits as well, but it's mainly just, you know, I'm looking at the amount of wrestling that's been on SmackDown lately. It's 40 or 50 minutes of wrestling. That's, you know, pretty much a full hour of the show is pure wrestling. That is kind of what it's become. It is sort of like a take it or leave it. Either you want to watch a lot of wrestling, you watch it, and you have nothing else going on, or you don't want to watch a lot of wrestling and you don't watch SmackDown. So it's kind of what it's become. So it's kind of interesting to see how it's evolved in the 3 hour Raw era. Greg, let me switch gears and TNA real quick before I let you go. And right now they're kind of doing the build-up to Final Resolution. That's on Sunday. And they also have this Hulk Hogan, Bully Ray, Brooke Hogan storyline going on. That's getting a lot of TV time to the concerns of many with that storyline. But what's your take right now on TNA right now, Greg, going into their final pay-per-view of the year on Sunday?
It's not blowing me away or anything like that. I am not thrilled about the decision to include Brooke Hogan into the Bully Ray Austin Aries thing. I wrote a column about that for the newsletter this week, and I guess we should be thankful that it took so long for them to put Brooke on the forefront of TNA. She had been utilized as the head of the Knockouts division, which, even though she wasn't even qualified for that, it was a fine way to feature her without featuring her. You know what I mean? It was a way to get her on TV and make her a part of TNA without having it become overbearing or so obvious that she's only there because her father is running things. And now that's kind of bled over into the main event scene with Bully Ray and Austin Aries. And I can't say that Bully Ray and Brooke have a lot of chemistry. I think that's the same problem with John Cena and AJ. They just don't seem right together. It seems like a forced pairing, and with a guy like Bully Ray and a guy like Austin Aries, I mean, you know, you think you could just let them loose on the mic or come up with some kind of interesting storyline. Bully Ray and Austin Aries really are two of the rare breed in wrestling these days, where they're sort of three-dimensional characters, where so many characters out there are one-dimensional, and it's hard to write a full storyline around them. I think Bully Ray and Austin Aries are two who are the closest to being three-dimensional as anyone else, and I think that's why it's so frustrating to see them just, you know, throw Brooke out there as part of the story when there's so much else that could be cultivated between the two to really hype up a match.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think Bully, I just don't think he's good in this role. I think he was so good as a heel, and they wanted to, you know, associate him with Hogan and Sting, and it kind of play up that can we trust this guy aspect, and now it's like they've just gone into this relationship situation with Brooke, and I just don't think that's the way to use Bully. Maybe coming out of this, they'll have a different direction for him, but I mean, right now, I just feel like they're wasting him in the storyline, and I think that they need stars who can draw people in, and Bully was one of those guys, and now he's in this Brooke Hogan deal, and I don't know if that's the way to draw people in to see Bully Ray do his thing, and then that's kind of my concern. Final Resolution, Greg, recommend it, skip it. Is there a match? You know, we got Styles and Daniels and Rude and Hardy. Is there a match on this show that you say, yes, you got to see that match, or is this kind of a, you know, it's kind of an okay lineup, but not must-see?
Yeah, I would say the match quality should be good on paper, but like TNA's problems most months, there's just doesn't seem to be a lot of oomph. There's not a lot of emphasis behind it. It's just one of those that are on the schedule, and Dixie Carter apparently has noted that there's going to be two less pay-per-views next year, which I certainly applaud. But you know, if you're a stickler for match quality, this might be one you might think about ordering. But you know, if you're turned off by the Brooke Hogan thing with the Bully Ray and Austin Aries, you know, that sort of thing, I can understand. And the others, you know, sometimes you can get for free on Impact. So
yeah.
I don't know that I can really recommend going out of my way to see it.
Yeah, I mean, they've got to blow us away tonight at Impact. It's really a make-it-recommended show. But
I think right now, I mean, you know, it's kind of there. So we'll see tonight if they can blow us away with the hype for the show on a last minute notice here. So Greg, before I let you go, Gonzo and the Greg, what's on tap for VIP members this weekend?
Yeah, this week we continue our look back at 2012 with our best top five best and top five worst feuds of 2012.
Ooh, worst feuds. Well, I would say AJ and Daniels over the Coletta Lynch, but I mean AJ and Daniels had a really good feud, but it was just a really awful storyline that was incorporated into the feud.
That's the thing. Once they got away from the whole Claire Lynch thing, it actually became a pretty good feud. But how much do you count the Claire Lynch thing toward it? Yeah.
Yeah, you got to weigh that in, I guess. So yeah, that's gonna make my top. That would make my top five just for that moment in time when she was involved. At least that character. So yeah, that's gonna be interesting for you guys to debate that. So Greg, of course, that's for VIP members at pwtorch.com/govip. If you're not a VIP member. And, Greg, we always appreciate you having you on the show, and thanks for calling in.
All right. Thank you, James.
This is Torch Assistant Editor James Caldwell signing off for the livecast.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I invite you to get even more of what the Torch offers by becoming a PW Torch VIP member. Not only do you get ad-free access to our website, the mobile site, and the desktop site, and access to about 30 years of our archives, including over 1,500 back issues and thousands upon thousands of hours of our audio shows going back to 2004, plus tons of retro radio shows from the 1990s. But you also get over 15 VIP exclusive podcasts per week, in addition to ad-free editions of these PW Torch livecasts throughout the week. So we take the ads out of the PW Torch livecast for VIP members and then give you over 15 other podcasts per week, including what started it all, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show. I host that with Bruce every weekend, and we spend a couple hours talking about the biggest stories of professional wrestling and wrestling history. It's one of the longest-running weekly pro wrestling podcasts on any subject, and it's one of the main reasons people go VIP and stay VIP. Another is The Fix with Todd Martin. I host that every midweek with Todd, and we get Todd's expertise and opinions every midweek on current events in professional wrestling, not just WWE, but all promotions worldwide, including New Japan. Plus, we end every show with some expert MMA talk from the LA Times columnist and SureDog contributor Todd Martin. And there's so much more. The Every Single Day Weight Cutter Hotline with news updates every single day, Monday through Friday. And every Saturday and Sunday, I do the SE Editor format of the Weight Cutter Hotline, where I answer VIP member questions in depth. And there's so much more. There's the Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, Wrestling Audio Community with Sean Radican, the WWE Future Pass Show with scouting reports on prospects and a look back at the indie career of current stars, the PW Torch East Coast Cast Extended VIP Edition, the retro radio shows. Every Thursday, a new retro radio show from the 90s drops, from the early 90s or the Attitude Era. And last but not least, my in-depth Raw and SmackDown reports. You can get a full chronological rundown of every episode of Raw and SmackDown with my analysis of the show in-depth every Monday night and Tuesday night. So check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. We give you a lot here at the live cast, but there is so much more. The vast majority of our work is for our VIP members, and you can become one today. Go check out details on a subscription at pwtorch.com/govip.
No.